So let me just open with prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for everybody here. I thank you, Lord, for their willingness to serve and their heart, Lord, that they just from their presence and in being here and coming to this class shows that they have a heart for this area and that they want to learn more about the things, your things and your kingdom, and Lord, and how they can be a blessing to other people and to bring more people into your kingdom. So Lord, I just pray over each and every one here. I pray that you bless them, pray that you anoint them. I pray that they would be blessed in all areas of their life, Lord. And then as they find their place in church, or even if they've already found it, but that they would just continue to grow and anoint them more in that area. In Jesus' name. Okay, let me grab my Bible. Let's do a little review. So we had a week off last week, so I hope you all had a great Easter. But let's do a little review. Does anyone remember what was the first class we did? Remember the title? It was Ministry of Health, but it was just an introduction. It wasn't a real fancy name. Can anyone tell me something that you learned out of that class? I'll give you a hint. No one volunteers. Okay, it's introduction to in Ministry of Health. So I think one of the main things that I talked about in that first class was catching the spirit of helps. Do you remember that? Do you remember talking about that? Remember, some things are taught, some things are caught. And catching the spirit of helps. Can anyone kind of help me out with that a little bit? What would you think when I said that, catching the spirit of helps? Anybody? The spirit, it's not like the Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit, right? Think of it more as like an attitude or catching that heart. Anyone remember what was the heart of helps? Love. Well, that is, ultimately, that it does go back to love. Yes, that's true. But remember, take care of the flock. What'd you say, Shane? Yeah, willingness to serve. Absolutely. So maybe we'll go to our worksheet and I'll help you out here. Because the first couple questions actually come from that first class. So I have, without blank, it is impossible to blank God. That's an easy one, right? Without faith, that's right, right in faith, it is impossible to please God. Number two, faith without something is dead. Is worried. That's right. Now, we can't work our way to heaven. Nope. We know this, right? Salvation is a free gift. However, without works, our faith is dead. So we do need to do something, right? We're not just called to come into the kingdom. Okay, we're saved from hell. Thank you, Lord. And I don't mean that disrespectful at all. I am very grateful for that. However, right, we're not just supposed to sit here. We need to bring other people in. Amen. So back to the heart of the ministry of helps. I skipped question number three. Do you like this question? Did anybody read this question?
Yes.
The ministry of helps is just a fancy term for the volunteer church force.
False.
That's false. That's right. It's so much more than that. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit in this class today, that volunteer force, the volunteer mentality. Because if that's what you come in with, that mentality, well, there's that side of it, but you're missing so much more than what God can do. You're missing, there's so much more that he can do through you and for other people that if you come in with that mentality, right, you're missing it. So yeah, that's false. Question number four, this is where I was getting to with the catch the spirit of helps. The heart of the ministry of helps is to blank. Yep, hearing some good answers. Serve, yep, these are good answers. I wrote down, and this was, I'll have you write down, assist pastor with the care of the flock. Okay? Assist pastor with the care of the flock. So the second class that we did. Anyone remember the title of that class? Ooh, I heard something. I heard it. I heard someone say seven. Connie. Ooh, very close. That was the third class. So now you skipped ahead. So now you got have that answer ready when I ask that question. Seven keys.
Supernatural
helps, right? We talked about this with the volunteer spirit or the volunteer mentality. Right, just a minute ago, right? We're not going to operate naturally. We're going to operate supernaturally. Anybody remember some of the keys from that? Any one of the seven? Or how about the bonus one? I hear papers rattling. It sounds like you're checking your notes, which is okay. Again, I told you, this isn't... You can check your notes. Jane. Yes, that's right. Serving unto God. Very good. That was number two, right? You don't have to be led. So we work in the ministry of health, right? You don't have to be called, right? We read the scripture that we're already called. He's already called us into helps. Be humble and teachable. Guard your heart. Why do we want to guard our heart? Don't get offended. Very good. Thank you. Yes. Right. Be faithful. Don't get weary in welding. Don't exempt yourself. And does anyone remember the bonus? Don't quit. Yep. And I wrote that. Don't quit. We got number four on the worksheet. And the third class, Connie, you're up. What was the third class? You just said it. Teamwork. That's very good. Yep. Spirit of cooperation and teamwork. Are we always going to agree on everything? No. But what should we agree on? What should we be in unity on? I'll give you a hint. It's the heart of Jesus. The blood, but it's the heart of Jesus. What did he tell us to do? What was the last command that he told us to do?
Spread the word.
Yeah, unity, yes. But we should be in the unity of spreading the gospel, right? The Great Commission, right? So we're not always going to agree on different things, right? I talked about before, sometimes some people who are in charge of a department, right? You might not agree with what they do. You might not agree with what they say. But, you know, we work with them. We're not going to try to undermine them or, get into strife or quarrel or gossip, right? Because we're working toward the ultimate goal. And that's to bring people in and to get people healed, delivered, saved. So I designed these four classes to build on each other. And that's why I'm pretty excited about today. And we won't go into too much depth, but today we're going to talk about excellence in helps. So operating in excellence. So we want to take this to the next level, if you will. So we've been watching my family, well, really just April and Caitlin and I, have been watching this show, cooking show, with Gordon Ramsay. It's called Next Level Chef. And so it's pretty funny, but what I like from this and where we're going to work with this in Excellence and Helps is they always talk about when they make their dishes, they say, you got to make this, you know, whatever dish, you got to take it to the next level. Take it to the next level, right? And a lot of times the difference between someone who wins and who does not win is because of not the flavors. They have the flavors, they're good, but it's the plate presentation, they call it, right? It's the little things. And you see them sometimes when they put their plates on the little thing that goes up and down for, that's when they're done, right? Once they put it on that platform. But you'll see them at last minute, they will take their rag and kind of just wipe the edges, right? And that's what I'm talking about, or what we're going to talk about today, about excellence and helps. Let's take this to the next level. So we talked about the introduction, right? Have some seven keys. You got to get that foundation down. And then we talked about the spirit of cooperation, and now we're going to talk about excellence. Excellence in the ministry of helps. Does anyone remember number five? Another word for minister is servant. Yeah, very good. Very good. A minister is a servant. I'm ministering to you this morning. You guys are sitting and listening. I'm doing the work, right? I'm serving you, right? And that's okay. That's good. But, you know, I'm ministering to you. I'm serving you. So that's number five. Yeah, I was just thinking a little bit more on this idea of excellence. And it's kind of, when I'm thinking in audio, you'll have a coarse adjustment and a fine adjustment on some of your audio levels. Actually, I used to, earlier in my career at work, I worked with, anyone knows what a scanning electron microscope is? This is one of these fancy microscopes that you can get really into detail, like, you know, 20,000 times magnification, 100,000 times magnification. You can look at, actually when I was training on this equipment, I pulled a bug off of my wall, this tiny red spider. And I captured them in a little jar, and then I took them in and put them into the vacuum chamber, and I imaged him. And when you'd image him, yeah, of course he's huge, right? I can see all his little eyes and all the little curvature and things on his eyes. But part of that, when you're adjusting this equipment, you have a coarse adjustment and a fine adjustment. Coarse meaning a large. So when you start out with, you kind of do this, right? You got to get your focus. And you got to take it from side to side, and you kind of bring it in. But you can't really. You can start to see details, but then you can't really see real good details. But then you got to go over to the fine adjustments, and that's what we're doing today in this excellence of helps is that fine adjustment. Okay, so some of these things that I'm talking about is fine adjustment. So part of working in excellence and helps, the world will use the term taking pride in your work. Okay, that's okay term. We of course know that pride is bad. But usually when they're saying taking pride in your work, doesn't necessarily mean like you have a prideful heart, but it means that you're going to go the extra. You're going to do more and really take extra care, whatever you're doing, this pride in your work, right? That you're not just going to do it half-heartedly. Right. And one of the examples I had, I read before Steve Jobs died, he had a biography written, and I read that biography, and one of the things I found interesting is that when he was ousted out of Apple, you know, he was let go from Apple after starting the company, he went out and he did some other things. He worked with Pixar. He actually developed another company called Next. And one of the things that I noted in this is that when they were building these computers, these were kind of like these high-end graphics servers is what these Next computers were about. And one of the things that Steve Jobs did, he was very meticulous, maybe a bit of a tyrant, but he was meticulous about quality. And he would even, on the inside of the case of the computer, is he would paint the inside of the case, a place where no one would ever see, and no one ever does this. Now, okay, to his detriment in that company, right, the cost and all that kind of stuff overrun, but it's that idea of just because people don't, even though they're not necessarily always going to look in there, it's that quality of that work that, you know, that we feel good. And if you ever notice Apple products, they've kind of went down over the years, but when Steve Jobs was still there, even their boxes that the computers and things would come in were very, very nice. When you grabbed it, you felt like you know, just the box, not even the product. It's like, this is quality, right? And that's the kind of message that I want to work through with on Helps today, is that kind of keeping that in mind. And this is something, you're not going to get it in this lesson, right? It's going to take time of kind of, you know, working on it, practicing. It's that muscle memory. When you exercise or you're working in a sport, right, you always want to get that muscle memory, right? You want these things to become automatic, but they're not automatic the first time. You have to train and you have to practice. And so that's what we're going to do. And that's really what these classes, what I wanted to come out of them. That's why they built from, you know, from the beginning to where we're at today, is to start to get that. And then once we walk out of here, you know, start to put these into practice. As we're working in Helps, start to put these into practice. And I didn't mention, I have something special for you. We're going to end class maybe about 5 minutes early, but I have something that I want to give to you, and that to kind of get you thinking along those lines. Okay, all right. That's all introduction. Praise God. Open your Bibles to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. So if you don't know where Micah is, go to Matthew and then start working your way backwards. You'll work through Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, right? Nahum, and then you'll find Micah, right? If you get to like Hosea or Joel, you went too far. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. We mentioned that in one of the previous classes about being humble and teachable, right? But we must walk in humility to God. James 4, 6, and I think it's on your outline, should be there. He gives grace to the humble. In 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 12, and I like it in the New Living Translation, it says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful that you don't fall. Walk humbly before the Lord, right? Always be checking yourself. This is when we talk about guarding your heart. Always be checking yourself. Make sure, what's my motivation? What's my motivation for why am I doing what am I doing, you know? And to remember, what is the ultimate goal, right? Is to bring people in. And, right, there's really two goals that we should always be working with, always. Bringing the lost in and discipling people as they come in, right? If it's not one of those two, question motives. What are we doing? And working in Helps, we deal with a lot of natural things, right? There's chairs set up. There's working with the children, right? If we just think working with the children is daycare or babysitting, you know, we talked about that before, about the anointing. It's so much more than that. It's so much more. You're imparting into their lives. And I like the phrase that says, you know, the children, they're not becoming the body of Christ. They already are. They are the body of Christ. They're just at a different stage than us adults. So we need to walk humbly before the Lord. Number 6 on your worksheet. The Lord requires, very good, us to walk humbly with Him. Now turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. We read this scripture before. Some of these scriptures, you know, I've repeated some of these scriptures on purpose. You know, learning is really repetition. And the Bible talks about this too. It talks about, you know, we were talking about muscle memory just a minute ago, but the Bible talks this line upon line, precept upon precept. So, you know, it's repetition. So we read the scripture before, but let's go to verse 22, chapter 3. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. What's eye service? Yeah, well, yeah, people are watching you, and you're just doing it just to look good, or just doing it for someone else's benefit, right? I'll let that one go, because I think we all know what that means. I got some stories on it, right? You're just doing it like, it's one of these things, all right, no, actually, I'm going to go there. It's like one of these things that, I'm trying to be careful, because I don't want it to sound like rude or anything, but, you know, sometimes we do things, and we'll do things when pastor's watching, right? Because we want to get noticed by pastor. And for whatever reason. I'm not saying us here. I'm just saying from my experience, I've seen that before. And that was actually sometimes we had a joke that if you needed to ask someone to do something, we'd say, well, pastor wants this done. And most of the time people would do it, right? Do you see where I'm going with this eye service? So not rebuking anybody here. Please hear my heart on it. I'm just saying from experience that, you know, again, check yourself. Check your motivations. Check why are we doing things, you know? Is it for the body of Christ or is it to be seen? As man pleasers. Oh, I could have just read that. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We just read that. Knowing that the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Okay, again, remember that you're doing this unto the Lord and what our ultimate goal is for that. Number 7, we are serving unto the Lord, right, and unto the Lord, and working with Him to reach the lost. Again, we're working with Him. You know, again, as we relate this back to excellence, do you remember when Jesus talked about, if someone asks for your coat, give them your overcoat too, right? If someone asks you to go a mile with them, go 2 with them. That's part of the excellence and helps as well. Go in that extra. That's why we talk about that pride in your work, right? You know, doing that extra because it's unto the Lord. And it's not for, we're not doing for men pleasers. And always remember that it's unto the Lord. Number 8. Oh, let me back that back up here. So, yeah, the volunteer mentality. Avoid the volunteer mentality, I think, is what I have in your notes. And we talked about this a little bit, that as you... if you have this mentality that I'm just a volunteer, I don't get paid. I've heard people say that before too. They can't tell me what to do. I don't get paid here. Okay, I'm kind of looking around the room. I don't think anybody gets paid for the things you do at church here today. Not directly from the church. And we are all volunteering, right? We're not doing this on earth. But check your heart, because that volunteer mentality can cause you to become unteachable and uninstructable. I'm not sure if that's a full word, but I just made it up. And we don't want to be that way, because you know what that does? That limits how God can use us. We want to be anointed. I want to be anointed in everything that I do in this church and everything that I work on, even though it's natural things. Sometimes it's natural, picking things up, you know. I'll mention that here too. Even though we're at the college, when we get into the new building, right, there's going to be some different tasks we're going to need to do. And we're already talking about some of these things that are going to, you know, we're going to have to take care of the grounds. We're going to have to vacuum ourselves. We don't have to vacuum here because it's at the college. We're going to have to clean the toilets, right? I don't mean to be crude, but let's be anointed when we're cleaning the toilets that, you know what, when someone comes in there and sits down, we all do at some point. That anointing on us cleaning the toilets, right, gets on them. It can happen. Amen. So, right, but I'll tell you what, if you have that volunteer mentality and you're just like, clean the toilets again, pastor asked me to clean the toilets, no, or someone else, pastor's representative asked me to clean the toilets, right, you're not going to get one, you're not going to get blessed. You're grumbling and complaining. That's one of my points down later. Maybe I'll skip over that later since I touched on it now. But the other thing is, seriously, you could, by what you do, your attitude and your anointing, you are anointed. Don't forget that you are anointed. And our anointing is not to, you know, they talk about like, what is it, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, right? One is very vibrant and flush, full of life, and the other one's, right, by definition, is dead. And what do they say is the reason why it's dead? Nothing flows out of it. Everything flows into it, but nothing flows out of it. We're designed, our anointing that's on us. So that's why it's important for us to stay fresh and anointed on our own and come in here fresh and anointed so that we can give out of our anointing. And we need your anointing. We do. We need all of us together producing and our anointing together. There is the power. That's why it's great that we meet together as a church and in person, is because we need that corporate anointing together. And again, why do we want to do that? To win souls. We want new people coming in here. And so we need to be anointed for that. As the new people come in here, they're going to be broken. You know, some of us here have things in our lives that are broken that need to be fixed. Amen. And we're going to get that anointing on Lewis is going to come over here, you know, and it's going to be on Bobby, right? And he can fix some things that's maybe in his life, not because of Lewis, but because the anointing that's on Lewis from God. But if he's complaining and grumbling, right, you're going to limit God. That's that volunteer mentality. So number 8 on your outline, the volunteer mentality can cause us to become unteachable. I'm just going to strife. I'm going to kind of just refer to these next few points. Strife, watch out for strife. Now, strife is not just having a disagreement with somebody. You might, okay, we're a family. How many have you ever argued with your family? Like your natural family? Okay, it's going to happen, okay? Someone might happen, we might say something that you might not appreciate. We talked about guarding our heart, don't be offended. But that's not what I'm talking about. Strife is talking about this kind of that competition, rivalry, that undermining, that going out of your way to go after someone because they violated you, or, you know, or it's a fight. It's a fight. If we do have a conflict, let's try to resolve it, right? What's the Bible says? Go to your brother, right? And ask for forgiveness. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to offend you. If it escalates farther than that, then, you know, you might have to get the church leadership involved. You might have to get pastor involved. That happens. It's a family. But avoid it. The scripture there, James 3:13-16, it said, where there's strife and envy, right, there is confusion and every evil work. I'll be honest with you, I don't want every evil work in my life, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to avoid strife as much as I can. So number 9 on there, yeah, strife should be avoided at all costs, because where there's confusion, where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. We must be submitted to our leadership here. We refer to Hebrews 13, right? We got a minute here. Turn over to Hebrews 13. Just watching my time because I got something extra here for you at the end. Obey them that have the rule over you. This type of a rule is not like a ruling, like a king, you know, or someone who's in charge. The rule over you is a measuring stick, okay? And not that they're judging you, but they're giving you the rules, right? The rules. So they that have the rules over there. And God placed the leaders in our lives to help and equip us, right? So the leaders are not our problems, but they're here to help us at the end of the day. And so we need to be, now they can only help us as much as we're submitted to them, right? If you're not submitted to pastor, it's very limited how he can help you. 2 Corinthians 10:12, don't compare yourself with others. There's always going to be someone better than you or someone worse than you in whatever area, in anything, in life. You're going to do one of two things when you start comparing yourself with others. One, you're either going to get in pride and be like, oh, I'm way better than them, right? And we don't want that either. Or you're going to condemn yourself. And I see this all the time, especially with social media. People don't ever post their bad pictures or their bad vacations. No, they always post the best ones and their best pictures. And, right? And so then we look at it and we're like, oh my gosh, their life is so much better than ours or mine, right? And you start to condemn yourself, right? So don't do it. The Bible just says don't do it. I mentioned don't complain. I used this with my kids not that long ago. I said they were complaining about something. Surprise, right? Kids complaining about something. Hey, I'll be honest, I complain sometimes too. April says, why are you complaining? I said, pull up Philippians 2:14, read that scripture. It says, do everything without complaining and murmuring. That's all it says. The scripture's like that long. So, stay away from gossip. Now, what am I talking about here? What are all these little things I'm saying? Religion is all a bunch of do's and don'ts, right? And it sounds like that's what I'm saying to you right now, but I'm not, right? These are things to help tweak you. Remember, we talked about fine-tuning. These are things that we judge yourself. Judge yourself. Just go through and then talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, what do I need to get out of my life? Stay out of gossip. Finally, we need to walk in unity with Pastor's vision for the church. He has the vision. The Lord put him in place for this church. And so we need to be in agreement with that, right? Okay, where did I leave off? Jesus is the true shepherd, number 10. He put leaders in the church to equip us. Number 11, it is unwise to compare yourself with others. Number 12, here's another one of these funny questions. It is okay for me to gossip and complain about others. That's false. We must walk in agreement or unity with pastor's vision for the church. And finally, number 14, there is no area of helps that is too small or insignificant when it is unto the Lord. Is that true or false? That's true. Very good. There is no area. Okay, amen. Is that good?
Wonderful.
All right, praise God. All right, I have one more thing before you go. Don't leave yet. I do have, I wonder if maybe I could get you to help me maybe pass these out here. I have a survey for you. We just want to get an idea. One, there's a bottom of the part, if you have any comments on the class, go ahead and put that. But any of these areas that we just want to get an idea on what areas you feel led. Now, remember I said sometimes there's a need. We have a need. And so you might have to fill that need, and it might not be an area that you feel led. Do you remember my example about feeling led?
Yes.
I wish I would have brought a bullet with me today. I could have said, here, you can feel led, right? But sometimes there's a need. And if you can fill that need, we might, not to use the word twice, but we might need you to do that. And, you know, you can do that until, I have a pastor friend of mine that, it was probably about 13 years ago, there were some things, he was maybe the associate pastor or something, and the senior pastor left, or he might have passed away, I don't remember the whole story. But he stepped in, and so just to fill in, he told me, yeah, I've been filling in for, I'm still waiting for my replacement. So sometimes you need to, sometimes you just have to fill a need, and that's okay. You can mark more than one area, by the way, and please turn these in, put your name on them and turn them in to me at the end. And we're going to pray over it, and then we may come talk to you. Some of these areas we don't have available yet, of course, until we're in a new church. And I'll kind of talk a little bit here. You know, one of the things when I would teach base, and kind of this is how I see these classes building on each other too, is when I would teach base, you got to get the fundamentals down, right? Of course, they got to be able to hold it right. They got to be able to put their fingers in the right place. But then what I would do with them immediately is as soon as I could start teaching them a song, I would start teaching them a song, because that's why you're learning to play an instrument, right? Is to play a song. So as soon as they were able to, I would start teaching them a song. And that's what I really had envisioned for this class, is that teach you, you know, the basics like what we did, but then get out there and let's start working in these areas. Let's start putting these things into place as soon as you can. Some of these areas, like I said, aren't here yet, so do something else until we can get some of these areas, you know. Like, we don't have to mow the grass. We don't have to, I mentioned the toilets. We don't have the coffee ministry you see on there yet. Does anybody need one, by the way? Everybody's good? But just be thinking about that, and we'll be praying about that with you, and we'll be contacting you. I appreciate you. There was a quote from Bob Yandian that I just read yesterday, and he says, God calls those who are working and not necessarily working in the area that they are called to. Think about Gideon. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. Okay? But then he ends up becoming like a mighty man of valor, right? Like the angel said to him. And defeats, right? The Midianites. And it's like, but that's not what he was doing when God called him. He wasn't fighting. He wasn't a warrior. Okay? David was out tending the sheep. And God called him to be the king. Okay? Right? Peter was out fishing and ends up becoming, of course, right, the great apostle and changes the world. But he wasn't doing what he was working. He was doing something, but he wasn't actually in the area that he was going to be called in. So I really like that quote, and I thought it fit real well with this. Okay, everybody got your things filled out? I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. I've been praying for you that you find where you're called to be, where you need to be. But while we're doing that, while you're finding that way, start working in some areas. Okay, and if you don't know where to go, come see me. Come ask Pastor. We'll find something. We have lots of things to do, even here at the college. Okay?
Okay.
All right, was this good?
Yes.
All right, I love you guys. We'll see you in about 10 minutes out there. Bless you.